Thou shalt not call students stupid or tell them to shut up. Thou shalt not lie to students or break promises. Thou shalt make your classroom a haven. Those are just a few of the commandments that Eric Piotrowski lives by in his classroom. He's a local high school English teacher who has written a new book with advice for teachers. It comes out on Thursday and is chock full of guidance to new teachers and inspiration for veterans. With school starting up in just a few weeks, we wanted to catch up with him to see what he's looking forward to this year. Molly Stentz spoke to him earlier today.
So with me in the studio today is Eric Piotrowski. He is a high school English teacher at Sun Prairie High, and he is the author of two soon-to-be-released books, one of which focuses on advice to teachers. And that's the one that I want to focus on today. It's called Class Consciousness, 10 Things New Teachers Should Know and Veteran Teachers Should Remember. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So you are yourself a veteran teacher, having taught for 2 decades now?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's odd for me to think of myself that way, but I suppose that's the way it is. I felt like I was just starting last week, and then I turned around and suddenly I have 2 decades of experience in the classroom, and I kind of want to share it as much as I can.
Why publish a book with advice for teachers? Now, there's certainly a lot of books out there. Your book is quite philosophical in tone. What inspired you to write this book?
Well, I'd say that one of the things that I want to do for other teachers is something that was done for me. You know, I decided I wanted to be a teacher when I was a junior in high school because I had a teacher in my junior year in my English class who was so terrible that I said to myself, there need to be more good teachers in the world. And over the years, I've seen a lot of teachers doing great things and helping me to get better. And I've seen a lot of teachers do things that I think are mistaken. And I want to try to provide for other teachers, especially those just starting out, but also those who have a few years under their belt, with some advice, some suggestions, some provocations, and some wisdom, if you can even call it that. I always hesitate to put myself up on some sort of pedestal as, you know, the wise person who knows a lot. But on the other hand, I think I know a couple of things, and if what I write down can be useful to other people, hey, so be it.
Who do you imagine picking up your book? Do you imagine other high school teachers? Do you think it's broader?
I think it's most applicable to secondary educators, middle school and high school. I think that, you know, I chose to teach high school because I can relate to the students a little more with logic and reason and long-term self-interest. But I think that a lot of the stuff in the book also applies to teachers of elementary school and paraprofessional educators and, you know, even some administrators, I think, could benefit from questions like, you know, why are you here? What's the balance between money and truth? In what ways are you trying to guide the students forward with compassion? In what ways are you trying to use, you know, boundary setting and getting the kids to take a long, hard look at themselves? All of which I think are important in various quantities at various times.
And so what are some of those pieces of advice that you have for teachers who are starting out today?
Yeah. The first one is the first chapter is called You Teach for a Reason. And what my reason is for teaching may not be the reason that other people have. I focus a lot of my classroom on the notions of liberation. I have a big poster in the front of the room that says Writing Liberates. And on the first week of school, I take them through this list of reasons why they need to know how to write. And some of them have to do with, of course, you know, getting jobs and things like that. But mostly it has to do with, you know, being ready to communicate with other people, getting the most, getting what they deserve as working people, being able to affect public policy. And along the way, I tell them stories about how, you know, okay, I say they have to be ready for, you know, someday they may have to speak at a funeral, for instance. And I had to attend one over the weekend, at which I didn't speak. But you never know when things are going to come up when you're going to need to sort of present yourself. I also tell them that relationships often break down because of poor communication. And writing is a way to sort of get good at that. So those are some of the reasons why I think that I teach. But other people may be teaching for other reasons. But the most important thing is for educators to know why they teach. What is it that's driving them in that classroom every day? in a larger sense than just, well, I want to help my students get better at math or whatever it is, because that's not going to drive you every day. But if you have a larger issue, if you have something that sort of propels you, and if you think about what your teachers, the best of them, did to help you, that may provide you with something that you can focus on in order of helping your students in a particular way. And I tell, you know, friends that I have, student teachers I've worked with, you know, what there's a student in the building who needs to talk to you specifically. And there are some students who need to talk to me because I know video games, I know hip hop and things like that. There are other students who need to talk to, you know, the dance coach or the person who's really interested in horses or whatever it is. There are bridges that teachers need to make to students. And every one of us has a role to play in that. And I think the more you are aware of your own driving forces, the better off you'll be as an educator.
Having taught as long as you have, you've seen, I want to say, the before and after of technology entering the classroom.
Oh, yes.
How has that changed your approach to teaching, and what advice do you have? I feel like we're all struggling with technology, but particularly young people, and particularly with the rate of change that we've seen in the past few years.
Absolutely. You know, there's that great scene in Breakfast Club where one of the teachers is complaining about, these kids changed on me. And the custodian said, nah, that's nonsense. Everything's changed. Nothing changes. The kids didn't change. You changed. And I think there's a really important grain of truth in that, because it's so easy for adults to look at young people and say, oh, they're so different than the way I was and whatnot, whatnot. On the other hand, I have seen cell phones become a form of, for lack of a better word, zombification, that so many young people and adults sort of just immediately jump to. And I remember when I was coming home from the funeral I attended this weekend, we were going through the security line. And of course, my phone was in the bin, and we're waiting for them to finish moving the bins through the X-ray scanner. And I said to my wife in a joking way, what am I supposed to do? I'm bored momentarily and I can't access my phone. And I think that's the way a lot of people think. Now, I was joking about it, obviously, but that's a reality. So I think the best thing for students to do, and for adults and teachers, is to work on the whole metacognitive thing, right? Why am I using this device? What are the positives that I get from it? And what are the negatives that comes with it? And I have to deal with that when it comes to video games and other forms of online entertainment, which are real important to me. And, you know, I'm not the type of teacher who's going to say, like, as soon as I see that phone, it's mine. You're out of here, Mr. or Mrs. Instead, I try to say to the students, you know, look, what are the benefits? Are you addicted? Do you consider it an addiction the way I consider myself addicted to video games? And if so, how are you managing that in your life? What is it doing to your relationships with other people? And I think we're just starting to really kind of wrestle with that. And obviously, technology can be a great thing in the classroom. My school has given every student a Chromebook, and it makes distribution of materials easier. It makes collecting things. I don't have to schlep enormous folders home. But there are also days when I give them time to work, and I can tell that half the class is looking at YouTube instead of doing the work. But ultimately, and maybe it's a privilege for me to be able to say this about my high school seniors, that's a choice they're making. And as long as they're aware of what they're doing and willing to accept the consequences, I say to them, you know, hey, look, I'm an anarchist at heart. So I can, as Morpheus says, I can only show you the door you have to walk through.
So do you think that teachers are adequately prepared to help students navigate this changing technology?
I think some of them are. Some of us are. I think that the more self-aware educators are, the more willing they are to interrogate their own habits, and the more willing they are to speak directly and without pretense and without assumed omniscience or authoritarian control, the better prepared they'll be to relate to teenagers and younger children and help them to navigate that world. I think that one of the biggest mistakes that teachers make is this assumption of, I'm in charge, you have to respect me. And one of the best things I ever hear from my students is, Mr. P, we really like the fact that you sort of treat us like adults. And I let them know that there are limits to that. You know, I can't let you do whatever you want. You can't just leave the room. But within certain boundaries, I want them to recognize the satisfaction that comes with being treated like an adult, but also the responsibilities that come with that as well.
So I wanted to ask you about critical thinking, because it's something you kind of talk a lot about in the book, and how you not only communicate and reach your students and be relevant to them, but how you get them to think and engage and drive that spark. In the era of test scores, in the era of limited resources. What's your best advice there?
I think, you know, there was a great, on the album that Utah Phillips and Ani DeFranco did together, The Past Didn't Go Anywhere, there's a great track where he talks about messing with people. And I think that's one of the things that my favorite teachers always did with me. I had a French teacher, Ms. Lopez, who, you know, she spoke French on the first day. And she was just like, you're going to learn this or you're going to be really bored and confused. And, you know, she wasn't a jerk about it. She didn't go off on these, you know, crazy speeches. But she held the carrot out in front of us and she expected us to run for it. And we knew we probably would never catch it. She would always have more things to challenge us with, but we would eventually get a little bit of it. And, you know, my high school journalism teacher, Ms. Maples, did the same thing. And I think that's one of the best things you can do is to recognize that a lot of students, especially by the time they get to the tail end of high school, have been trained to just memorize stuff, regurgitate it, move on. It doesn't matter beyond the test. Well, the most important things in life obviously do matter beyond the test. And so what they need most is to have their cages rattled in a way. And so I do that in a lot of different ways. One of them is by being loud. One of them is by, you know, I find a different, you know, comic strip or a GIF or something on the internet and I'll put it on the board when they're coming in. I have my map upside down, you know, and they're, why is the map upside down? And I say, well, how do you know it's upside down? And they say, well, the letters. And I say, okay, if it had no letters. And they say, well, north is supposed to be up. And I'm like, well, why is that? And it's just that dialectic questioning. I think anything can serve as the opening to that sort of river of thought if we are ready and willing to challenge them in that way. There's a great scene in the third Matrix movie where Neo is talking to the Oracle about the architect, and she says, you know, he can't understand human decisions because that's not his purpose. His purpose is to balance the equation. And he says, well, what's your purpose? And she says, to unbalance it. And I tell the students, that's my purpose. I'm here to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Your book launch is Thursday.
That's right. I'm dropping two books at once at Room of One's Own. It starts at 6 p.m. And I hope people will come by and we'll have punch and pie and talk about teaching and political activism and lots of other stuff.
In addition to being a full-time teacher, a book writer, you're also a political activist, and I understand that you have something coming up.
Yeah, that's right. I've been working on East Timor issues for a very long time, and Madison is really happy to be welcoming back Dr. Dan Murphy, who is an Iowa doctor who's been living in East Timor for over 20 years and providing free medical care to the people there. And he's going to be in Madison on Monday, the 26th of August, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Madison Central Library. So it's a really excellent opportunity, and I hope people will come by to hear him talk.
What will he speak about?
He's going to be talking about 20 years since voting for freedom. The vote for East Timor's freedom happened in 1999, and he's going to be talking a lot about village health in East Timor today and what they're doing to make sure people live longer and have less health problems and give birth to healthy babies and live a long time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was high school English teacher Eric Piotrowski speaking with WORT's Molly Stentz. He has taught at Sun Prairie High School for the last 20 years, including creative writing, AP English Literature and Composition, and a course he designed called Interdisciplinary Poetics, Hip Hop 101. His new book is called Class Consciousness, 10 Things New Teachers Should Know and Veteran Teachers Should Remember. The book launch is this Thursday night at A Room of One's Own bookstore in downtown Madison.